Remembering Betty White. January 1922 to December 2021. Opening credits. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Betty White. Daytime. A crowd of people enter and exit Union Station. Title: The Lost Valentine. Sean Ferris. A man hands a heart-shaped red box to a woman. They kiss. A young man escorting an older woman pass by, watching wistfully. Billy Magnuson. Megan Fahey. The older woman separates from the young man and enters the train station. Nadia Bajani, Will Chase. Music by Mark Adler. Production designer, Gary Wiest.
This is your final boarding call for train 20, the Crescent. Service to Charlotte, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York. Now departing on track 8.
Director of Photography, Frank Prinzi, ASC. Edited by Michael Ornstein, ACE. The older woman passes a flower cart, then a frame store. She looks in the window at a black and white photo of Navy servicemen smiling, waving a small flag. A couple sits hugging behind them. The lady smiles and begins to well up. She reaches a hand up to the glass. She lowers her head and sobs. She continues looking at the photo. The photo colorizes. A flashback of the same men posing for the picture in the same train station. Behind them, the hugging couple chat.
You said we weren't gonna cry.
No. You said that. I didn't.
Producer, Barbara M. Ganji.
I hate this. Leaving you. Especially now knowing I won't be here for you.
He touches her visibly pregnant stomach.
At least you won't have to see me get fat.
Hey, I was looking forward to that.
No.
Producer, Andrew Gottlieb. He holds his face close to hers.
I should have never dreamed this is how we would spend our first anniversary.
Executive producer, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's us.
Executive producer, Brent Shields. Based on the book by James Michael Pratt.
Now, I want you to write me every day. I want to know everything, how you feel, what you had for breakfast.
Whether I kept it down.
Yes.
Teleplay by Marianne Radini Spencer and Bard and Tony. Directed by Darnell Martin. Servicemen hang their heads out the train window, holding hands with women standing on the platform. The couple holding hands turns to each other. He wears a white officer's uniform. Her face becomes anxious.
No. Caroline, listen, we'll get through this.
I promise you'll come back.
I'll come back, I promise.
He touches Caroline's stomach. He leans forward to kiss her, but the brim of his cap bumps her forehead. They chuckle, then kiss passionately. A conductor walks by. They break the kiss. Caroline sobs. He kisses her eyes and starts to board. She grabs his hand.
I'll wait for you.
He looks back smiling and kisses her again. She steps up onto the train step. The train begins to move. She steps down. He kisses her again. He gets on. She walks along the moving train. She removes an envelope from her purse. He pops his head out of the train. She hands him the envelope. He kisses her hand. He opens the envelope. Inside is a heart-shaped card.
Now you have my heart. Keep it next to yours and bring it safely back to me. I'll always love you, Caroline.
Neil rushes toward the back of the train. Caroline stands on the platform watching the train pass. On the very back platform, Neil appears holding the card.
Caroline!
She smiles and waves as the train continues rolling down the track. He puts on his cap and raises his hand above his head in a wave, then kisses the card.
Happy Valentine's Day.
She sobs as the train rolls away. In the present, the older woman wears a pin on her lapel, Gold Star Wives of America. She sits on a bench in the train station, rocking her feet. A conductor approaches.
Hey, Miss Thomas, how are you doing today?
Oh, Mr. Williams, sit down. Don't you look wonderful?
Well, if I do, that makes two of us. I was just saying to myself, it's about time for that pretty Caroline Thomas to show up. There you are, right on schedule.
I wouldn't want to be late.
No, I don't suppose you would. 25 years I've been working here. You haven't been late once.
No, in the 40 years before that. I don't know if I ever told you this, but back when I was still teaching, I always took Valentine's Day off to come here.
Can I get you anything? Water?
No, I thank you. I'll just sit here. I have everything I need.
Mr. Williams stands.
Well, take care.
On a television news set, a young woman and man sit at the anchor desk. They remove their body microphones and a crew member approaches.
I've got some new stories for us to discuss.
Great. Did you get that school janitor who used his savings to start a scholarship fund?
Mr. Figueroa does not want to be interviewed. But Senator Irving, on the other hand, being up for re-election this year, is very eager to share his thoughts and memories. His biography and coverage, his book, more coverage, articles written by him, articles written about him, and this is heavy on his vet rehab initiative.
You know, it's not very American Diary.
Exactly. And if you get the right edge, you get a shot at world profile. And I'm going with you as your producing partner. And we will not be stuck in the land of soft and sappy anymore.
Maybe you need a drink of water, Julie.
I'll get right on that.
Julie walks off. The man grins, then turns to the anchor.
You feeling stuck, Susan?
Not me. I'm good.
So Julie was just pitching Senator Irving. She said that he'd love to be interviewed and he's up for re-election.
Human interest.
Senators are human, sometimes interesting.
We're not world profile. We're American Diary. And this is what works for American Diary. It's 1944. A young bride goes to Union Station on Valentine's Day, her anniversary no less, to send her young Navy pilot husband off to war. He swears he'll come back. She swears she'll wait. He goes missing in action. But 65 years later, she's still living up to her end of the bargain by going down to the station every Valentine's Day, including this past February, to wait for his train.
And?
That's it.
Well, what else has she done? I mean, has she started a support group for Navy wives? What?
She goes down to the station. She waits. It's a love story.
You know what it reminds me of? That Japanese dog story. The one with the Akita who goes looking for his master at the train station 10 years after he died.
Susan.
No, it'll be a real tearjerker. Dogs and old ladies who wait at train stations for their deceased loved ones? Come on.
Lucas Thomas. Susan Allison.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm the grandson of the old lady who waits at the train station for her deceased loved one.
Oh.
Lucas and my nephew Bobby are old college buddies. When Bobby told my wife that story, she was desperate to get me to sit you down, Lucas, and figure out how to get your grandmother on American Diary.
I can see why the piece would work for your show, but I'm just not sure that my grandmother's the type of person to pursue something like this.
Lucas extends a hand.
Thanks for lunch, Craig.
You're very welcome.
Nice meeting you.
Lucas walks off.
Very smooth, Susan.
I'll get the story.
Susan drives her Volkswagen down a suburban street and parks in front of a house with a mailbox labeled Thomas. She gets out of the car and approaches the front door. Inside, Caroline is placing a teapot on the side table. She approaches the front door and opens it.
Hello,
I'm Susan Allison from American Diary on GNTV.
Hello. I'm sorry, dear, but I'm not familiar with your program.
Are you Caroline Thomas?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, we would love to interview you for our television show.
Me? I think you have the wrong person.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure that it's you.
Oh, well, that's nice, but no thank you. And if you'll excuse me, I have a kettle boiling.
Okay, well...
Caroline closes the door. Susan sighs and turns away, then turns back. Caroline answers again.
Hi. Did I say that I was from American Diary?
Yes, you mentioned that. But I have no interest in television. And as you can hear, I'm a bit busy.
I know Lucas.
You're a friend of Lucas? Well, why didn't you say that? Come on in.
Caroline lets Susan in.
Make yourself at home. Would you like some tea?
Thank you.
Caroline goes into the kitchen. Susan walks over to a fireplace and looks at pictures on the mantle, some in black and white, of Caroline and others smiling. A picture of Neil in his officer's uniform is framed largely in the middle. Susan notices a picture of a young Caroline kissing Neil on the cheek. Caroline re-enters with a tea set.
What did you say your name was again?
Susan. Allison.
Hello, Lucas. It's Grandma. You didn't tell me you had a friend coming by today. Are you coming too?
What friend?
Yes, Susan Allison. Something about an interview.
She's there at the house?
Yes, we're having tea.
I'll be right over, Grandma.
Okay, dear, we'll see you soon.
Lucas walks through a picket fence.
Grandma!
Hello, dear.
Hey, Grandma.
Oh, hey, Lucas. Hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just a little surprised to see my friend here.
You know, I didn't actually say that you were my friend. I just said that I knew you. Wow, this rose bush is beautiful.
Yeah, that bush is dead.
It is not dead. And it's very special to me. My husband and I planted it a long time ago.
And when was that?
Hey, Grandma, could you just excuse us for a moment?
Oh, well, certainly, dear. I'll get us some iced tea.
That sounds great.
Here we are. Thank you.
Caroline walks up the porch steps and inside.
What are you doing here? I thought you had no interest in my grandmother.
You know, I think that I may have given you the wrong impression.
Really?
But I'm here now, so 5 minutes. Please.
All three sit inside.
We think that it would make the most beautiful story, one that would really impact people's lives and help them to believe in love.
Kind of like that Japanese dog story.
Japanese dog story?
Your story reminds people what matters most.
What I don't understand is, why me? There were so many women who went through the same thing I did. My story's no different.
Oh, but it is.
Oh, really? Please, tell us what makes your story so different.
Well, you know, you kept the love alive.
I'm sorry, dear. I just don't think this is for me. Lots of women kept the love alive. I just kept going to the station.
Susan and her friends.
It's so sad to have your whole life revolve around going to a train station, waiting for someone who's never coming back.
Julie, it's not her whole life. It is one day a year.
Oh, you spend that much time every weekend waiting for me to come back from golf.
Susan spends that much time every few weeks going to the airport to wait for Andrew.
The difference being I get off the plane.
Usually.
One time. One time I didn't make my flight. But, I'm here now, cooking for you, serving you.
Oh, I knew it. The candles and the flowers, you're buttering me up or something. Okay, let me guess. You have accepted an 8-month assignment in Uzbekistan.
A lifetime.
assignment.
Susan looks across at Julie and the other man, then over at Andrew beside her. He places a jewelry box on her knee. Julie and the other man smile and squeeze each other. Andrew grins.
That's an engagement ring.
That's what I said the minute I saw it. I said, now that's an engagement ring.
Andrew glances away nervously. He looks at Susan.
And your answer is?
He never asked the question.
Later, Susan and Andrew sit inside.
I never asked the question. What do you think I was saying when I gave you the ring? Want to go see a movie?
The appropriate words would have been, will you marry me? And maybe you could have done it in private.
I wanted to share the moment with our friends, our very good friends who probably haven't stopped whispering poor Andrew out there.
Okay, so what did you want me to do? Just say yes for their benefit and then back out later on?
You're saying no?
No, I don't know.
I thought we talked about getting married one day.
Yeah, we did.
Should we just go?
My car keys and jacket are in there. Well, we're good together. We get along.
How do you even know if we get along? Andrew, you're always in Guatemala or Rwanda or the backside of Egypt.
It's what I do. I go to places and I take pictures. You want me to change what I do?
Susan passes Andrew and approaches the sink. He turns to her.
You want to break up?
Andrew, there is a huge difference between saying no to a marriage proposal immediately than breaking up.
I'll call you. Or you'll call me. Whatever.
Andrew picks up his jacket. He picks up the ring box and hands it to her.
Keep the ring, think about it, and when I get back from Fiji...
Fiji, right?
What?
Nothing. By the time you get back, you will have forgiven me for embarrassing you in front of our friends, and I will not feel weird anymore that you put me on the spot and everything. I'll just go back to normal.
He nods. They look at each other.
Promise me you'll think about it? About us?
I will. I promise.
She kisses his cheek. Andrew walks to the back door and pops his head out.
Hey, good night, guys.
Oh, okay. Good night, buddy.
Good night, Andrew.
Andrew walks off. The others approach Susan.
Oh, that must have been awful for you guys. I'm so sorry. There's just a lot to think about.
Yeah, what is there to think about? You guys have known each other for years.
He's a great guy. He's an incredible guy.
Right. So what more do you want?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Why don't you tell me what's really going on?
Julie sits.
If you're going to spend your life with somebody, don't you want to feel excited? Thrilled, even? I mean, isn't there supposed to be magic?
Look, I want you to remember that good guys are really hard to come by.
Remember that when I'm out golfing.
Got it.
Crossing my fingers for you, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
He kisses Julie and leaves.
I don't want you to regret this decision somewhere down the road. That's it. Okay.
Julie kisses Susan and walks off. Outside, Susan lays down. She looks at the ring. Daytime. Susan approaches Caroline's front door and knocks. She glances around.
Hello?
She answers her phone. Julie sits in an editing bay.
Hi. Why aren't you in the editing room?
Because I'm meeting Caroline Thomas again until I get that interview. She's my new best friend.
Right, but who is going to edit your segment? We're already behind.
You are? Because you're brilliant. Okay, so just cover for me. Craig wants this done like now. Listen, I gotta go.
In the backyard, Lucas is painting the porch.
Hey there.
You don't believe in calling ahead, do you?
Phones can be hung up.
What happens when someone says no to you?
Never really happens.
Oh, you should get out more.
Where is she?
Well, she's probably getting ready to go and didn't hear you.
Go?
She's got a standing date on Saturdays. Maybe she'll take you along.
On a date?
She's got a real soft spot for military men.
I'll wait here.
Later, at a veteran's hospital.
Here's my fisherman. Oh, and Dave, I know you like sports. I know that. That's a new one. No. Would you like a magazine? Vilify the New York Yankees all you want, but quite simply, the Yankees are great for baseball. Says who?
She indicates the magazine.
Oh, come on. Well, that's what it says anyway.
Isn't it painful? Seeing all these men who have returned?
She gets indignant when people get it wrong about who's really in pain here.
I don't hate them. I just wish they wouldn't beat the teams I like better.
So, you think she's going to let me do the story?
Don't know.
Well, you do have some influence on her.
Well, I won't use it.
Not even if I can convince you it's a good thing?
It's not my decision to make. I'll support whatever she decides.
Fair enough. You know, I think it's sweet that you support her.
We support each other. After she lost my grandfather, her whole life was taking care of others. My father, her students, me, these men. She was 20 years old. I want to take care of her now.
You're a very unusual guy.
I don't think so. What, you don't help and support your family?
Basically, my family's all in Boston. We're not close, really. My dad died a few years ago, and my mom and I don't see each other, so. I'm rambling, and I'm sorry about that.
Is your lower back bothering you?
No, it's fine.
Then you should try stretching out your hips. Might find your flexors are tight. And you weren't rambling. We were talking.
Yeah, I think your grandmother's probably done now, so.
Lucas grins. Later, the three of them eat on a park bench.
So, why do you do this?
Honestly? At first, I was hoping I'd find my meal. There were so many wounded men. And I kept telling myself anything's possible.
And then? It changed for you?
Yeah, I guess it did. It made me feel good to help. Even now. I'm from a generation who honors service. To our country, to each other. Maybe that sounds old-fashioned to a lot of people.
I don't know about that. Doesn't sound old-fashioned to me. But it does sound like a Thomas family trait.
I like this one.
Susan and Caroline clean glasses. Later, they arrive back at the house and approach the front door.
Well, I hate to leave good company, but I've got some work to catch up on.
Oh, that's all right, Lucas, and thank you for today.
No problem, Grandma. Same time next week. It was good to see you again, Susan.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Lucas walks off. Susan takes Caroline's arm, and they walk up the path.
Oh, here.
Thank you.
So, what does Lucas do?
You don't know? He's a physical therapist. Hmm. He's about to be published.
Really?
He wrote an exercise book. So, this has been lovely. What's next?
Next.
Do you bring in the cameras, or...
You're going to let me do the story. Oh,
Susan hugs her.
Sorry. Okay. Wow. Ultimately, we would just like to get you on tape, telling your side of the story in your own words. But in the meantime...
Oh, I don't much believe in meantime. Life happens in real time. How soon do you want to start?
A TV crew in the yard.
I hope it's okay if we do the interview like this. I'll feel more natural if I'm busy.
Natural is perfect. Who could want more than natural? Okay, are you ready to start?
Just in my own words?
However you want to tell it.
All right. I guess we have to start at the beginning. Although with Neil and me, it's hard to know where it all began. I'd known him forever, since grade school. About a year before graduation, his family moved away, and then we lost touch. I didn't see him again till 43.
Caroline gardens in the backyard. A flashback. Young Caroline enters a garden.
But then, of course, the war was on. We planted victory gardens, collected scrap metal and rubber for recycling. Everywhere you looked, there was a reminder. Everyone seemed to have something to do behind the scenes for the war effort. That's because we all had someone we loved over there. Folks put stars in their windows to show how many family members they had overseas. Everyone was united, bound together in a sense of patriotism. I was doing my part by working for the USO.
Caroline stands in a ballroom at a table. She wears a bi-war bond sash. Neil passes in uniform carrying a backpack.
Caroline? Caroline Jensen?
Neil!
I can't believe this.
They hug. Caroline turns to the woman beside her.
Jenny, look who's here. You remember my sister?
Yes, yeah.
Neil Thomas. Well, you look better than a man has a right to.
You do, too. you look good. You both look real good.
Neil and Caroline gaze at each other. In plain clothes, Neil and Caroline work tending a garden on a residential street. Neil takes a bite from a tomato.
It's delicious.
He holds out his hand. She leans in to take a bite.
So you're pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you'll have to...
I'm stateside for now. A flight training officer, I'll be working at the Naval Aviation Reserve Base.
So, maybe you won't have to... No.
Who knows?
They look at each other. Later, Neil stands in a truck accepting furniture items from the townspeople below. Caroline hands him a flower pot. He smiles and pops down out of the truck and walks with Caroline down the street. As they walk, Neil takes his hand out of his pocket and takes Caroline's hand.
I don't want to set the world.
Nighttime. Caroline and Neil stand on the porch of a house with another couple. The other couple walks into the house. Neil turns to Caroline. Caroline smiles.
And now the Mills brothers, for all of our sweethearts out there.
Oh, I love this song. Don't you?
Yeah. It's good.
Neil stiffly sits down beside Caroline.
I was feeling awfully guilty about having the safe, cushy job. But then I saw you. And all of a sudden I... Caroline, this may not be the best time to say this, but these days you can't put things off. When I think back about when we were growing up together, I remember so many things. But for the life of me, I can't remember a time when I wasn't in love with you.
They gaze at each other.
I wish you'd say something.
Neil turns away. Caroline smiles.
I sure wish you'd kiss me.
Neil turns back. Neil smiles, then leans in and kisses her.
It took us all of a week to get engaged. And another 3 days to get married.
A photographer takes the wedding photo of them that sits on her mantle.
One thing people were learning from that war was not to waste any time. You knew better than to let love slip away.
Julie and Susan jog.
Have you talked to Andrew? Phone time mostly. Talked to each other's machines. Have you decided anything about the ring? Oh, the ring, the man. Push me more than he does. Of course, I push you more than he does. I talk to you more than he does. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, since when? I thought you liked having your independence. You've got this great guy. The two of you jet around the world doing your own things. I would kill for that kind of freedom. Yeah, well, I think I might need more than that.
Susan pulls into a parking lot. Lucas is standing with a man in a cast.
Here's a cool little exercise you guys can do. Turn around real quick here. All right. Now, I want you to take this in your left hand. Right here. Hold it right here with your left hand. And then we're going to unclip you here. And this might hurt a little bit. I want you to take the movement just ever so slightly. You feel that right there? Don't go past that.
Later, in the office.
You were great with that kid out there.
Yeah, he was being scouted, and then he tore his rotator cuff. He thought his life was over because he couldn't pitch anymore.
Oh, you'll get him pitching again?
Yeah, eventually. It's a slow, hard recovery. Takes you off the fast track of having to win.
So what about you? Do you miss the fast track?
What do you mean?
Sorry, I Googled you, reporter. Bad habit.
Okay, and what did you find?
Well, Mr. Thomas, I read that you were a star point guard in college, and then after you graduated, you became a strength trainer for the NBA, and a few years after that, one day suddenly you just resigned. What happened? Pretty important job to just walk away from.
She holds her pen like a microphone.
Not if you look at the people who do it. Many of them are divorced. Kids barely know them. I just figured I wanted more than traveling from city to city with a bunch of guys. And I thought that my grandmother was your subject here.
Yeah. She is.
Susan turns away.
And you're here to talk about her?
My hips? The flexors.
Okay, well, I've got a couple minutes before my next appointment if you want me to show you some stretches.
That would be great.
Okay, kick off your shoes.
Oh, I don't take my heels off, so.
Okay, let's start with a lunge then. Let's go right leg forward.
Okay.
And left knee down.
Oh.
Let me help you up there.
Okay,
all right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to lean back into me. Feel that stretch. You feel it?
Ooh, you know what? That is probably my fiancé. Yep, that's him. Hello. Andrew, hey. Thank you so much. Yes. That's weird. Hello. Andrew. Hi. Thank you. Really, it feels better.
A flashback of the Thomas house. It's falling apart with an old tin mailbox in front.
My uncle sold us this house. For $100 down and $50 a month. We couldn't wait to see what we could do with it.
Caroline and Neil hug, looking at the rundown siding. Neil pulls up the mailbox. Later, they pull the wood siding off the house.
The wood was rotten and termite-ridden. But it was ours. The first thing we had together. I wouldn't have taken back one glorious moment of bringing this house to life with my Neil. The planks of wood, the nails, the paint, the seeds of the garden, all touched by his hands. He's so much a part of this house.
Neil whittles the Thomas sign.
He made me a paradise before he left. And then my mother gave me a lot of her old furniture. That rocker in there? I was sitting in that rocker when Neil proposed.
Neil carries the rocker into the house.
We imagined lots of children running through the yard. Neil said, surely we'll need a fence to keep them all in.
They paint the white picket fence together. Caroline paints the Thomas mailbox sign. Neil playfully lifts the bucket of paint over Caroline. They continue painting the fence and new house siding. Later, Caroline sprays the hose in the yard. She walks around back. Neil is planting the rose bush Susan noticed earlier. Neil turns to the radio, smiling.
Can I have this dance?
Caroline smiles and walks over to him. They dance together in the backyard. Caroline turns around and leans against Neil. They continue swaying. Neil smiles and nibbles Caroline's ear. She sprays the hose at him. Caroline laughs as she continues to spray Neil with the hose. He attempts to block with his hand.
Still craving your kiss.
Neil chases Caroline to the front yard and lifts her, spinning in front of a garden sprinkler.
To linger till dawn, dear. Just sing this.
Give me a little kiss. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries.
Nighttime. In different clothes, Caroline and Neil dance on their front porch together.
We didn't go anywhere for our honeymoon, but nobody ever had a better one. It lasted a year, to the day.
American planes have carried out the greatest daylight operation of the war against unannounced targets in Germany.
Neil turns anxiously to the radio and raises the volume.
Anzio, Russian forces have moved closer to Pskov, and the Pacific offensive continues. For details, Admiral Radio takes you now to CBS Pearl Harbor. Webley Edwards reporting.
The Central Pacific forces are pouring it on. The Japanese are rocking back on their heels. Their plan to dominate the island chains...
Caroline caresses his shoulder as he ponders. Later, they lie together in bed, facing each other.
Are you worried that you might have to go?
I think I should be going. I mean, if I don't do my part...
You are... doing your part. And this way, we'll have a much better chance of being here 20 years from now.
I can't think like that, Caroline.
He turns over. Later, Caroline lies in the bed alone, stroking the pillow on Neil's side.
I knew that if he had the courage to risk dying, I had to have the courage to risk living. So I just concentrated on feeling close to him.
Daytime. Caroline works under the hood of a car in the driveway. She glances overhead. Her eyes begin to water as the plane passes over. She sniffles and wipes her nose. Elsewhere, at a postal box, a visibly pregnant Caroline seals an envelope and kisses it.
I wrote him every day. Sometimes twice.
She waddles down the sidewalk to a mailman as he is collecting the letters from the same box. She hands him an envelope, then quickly takes it back and kisses it. Elsewhere, on a ship drifting in the water, Neil writes a note. He pauses his writing and picks up a small whittled airplane sitting in a pile of wood shavings. Daytime. Caroline parks her car in front of the house as the mailman is delivering her mail.
Mr. Myers! Hey!
Looks like this letter's from someone with the same last name as yours!
Thanks!
Caroline hurries over and opens the letter. In the present, Caroline reads the letter.
Dearest Caroline, I miss you. Here's a present for my Navy wife and a plane I whittled for our little one.
The plane hangs on the mantle.
We shipped out of San Francisco and made it to Pearl Harbor in 7 days. Because we're replacements, we're awaiting assignments to a carrier. The fighting right now is in the Marianas and Caroline Islands east of the Philippines. The Marines are taking one island at a time while the Navy is claiming the air and sea. As for me, I think about you every minute. I keep your Valentine in my pocket, next to my heart, to remind myself that one day this will all be behind us. And we'll be together again.
Sometimes I forget where I am for a split second. Look around, half expecting to see you, and there's some ugly sailor looking back at me.
Caroline grins at Susan, who smiles.
The rest is mine. Oh, I lived for these. Sometimes I'd go weeks on end without hearing a word. Then I'd get several at once.
In a flashback, Caroline stands on her porch with her sister, pouring a glass of lemonade. A man with a Western Union uniform rides his bicycle past her house.
The mood in the neighborhood always got tentative when Western Union had to make a delivery.
The delivery man tips his cap to Caroline and walks next door.
That's what everyone dreaded the most, getting a telegram.
Hey there, kids. Is your mom about?
Next door to Caroline, a young girl nods as she gardens in her front yard. The man with the telegram approaches the front door. The young girl watches as the man delivers the letter to a woman. The delivery man walks away. The woman sobs. The young girl runs over and hugs her. In the present, Caroline sits.
But life went marching on. Sometimes at a gallop.
In a flashback, Caroline lies in bed. She tosses and turns. She reaches for a phone. Later, a photographer takes a picture of her holding a baby. She rides in a car holding the baby. The car parks, and Caroline gets out. She walks into her house past the rose bush, in full bloom. Later, the baby, a bit bigger, lies in a crib in the backyard as Caroline hangs laundry on a clothesline.
It was announced this morning that the combined forces of the Allied Pacific Fleet and Armies, under the direction of General Douglas MacArthur, launched attacks against Japanese forces throughout the Philippine Islands. In the largest naval armada in American history, the Pacific Fleet assembled at dawn and began to engage the enemy on land and sea. The U.S. 6th Army, supported by naval and air bombardment, landed on...
Caroline turns anxiously to the radio, then walks to the crib. She holds Neil's wooden plane above the crib, smiling. The baby grabs for the plane.
See the airplane Daddy made for you? Daddy's flying in his airplane right now. And he's thinking about you.
In different clothes, Caroline walks out to the crib on the porch. She holds the plane above the baby. The Western Union man rides by. Caroline stiffens up and looks to the front of the house. The man rides to Caroline's house and parks in front. Caroline stares as he gets off the bike, holding a tray of milk bottles. He walks to the front of her gate. He glances at her as she stands still on the porch, staring. He looks at Caroline solemnly as he approaches.
Mrs. Caroline Thomas.
Caroline weeps. She stumbles and falls. The man grabs the bottles and helps her to sit. She tears open the envelope.
Maybe you want to call somebody, ma'am. You do have some.
The Navy Department regrets to inform you that your husband, Neil Thomas, is missing following action. He's not dead. I mean, they don't know. Missing isn't dead.
She stands and lifts the baby out of the crib.
My husband's not dead.
The man covers his mouth and turns away, walking down the path.
Missing's not dead.
In the present, Caroline looks at the telegram, then folds it. She places it inside a cookie tin and replaces the lid.
That day, the real waiting began. I believe I'll go in the house now.
Caroline stands and passes the cameraman.
Caroline, are you okay?
Just a little tired, that's all.
Okay, we'll give her a few minutes. She comes back.
Caroline faints on the porch steps.
Call 911! Caroline! Caroline!
Susan stands outside the hospital. Lucas runs up.
Hey, she's in ICU. They said they just go back.
Lucas enters the hospital.
Craig said to let him know how it goes.
I just hope this isn't her fault.
Later, Susan enters the lobby. Lucas approaches.
You're still here.
Yeah, I was worried. I'm worried.
She had a mild heart attack. They're just going to run some tests and see how much damage was done.
I'm so sorry. I feel responsible.
No, don't.
Yeah, but if talking about this stirred something up for her,
Look, in the past few days, she has been the happiest that I have ever seen her. She's gotten to be that girl in love again.
Susan lifts a coffee cup.
Here. Got cold.
Thanks.
They sit beside each other.
Well, I hope when I'm 80 that I have somebody like you to take care of me.
Like me? No. She's way stronger than I am. I just fill in. I just want to make things right for her.
Yeah, I know that that's what you do. You know, you mend people. How are you going to fix a heart that's not broken?
She was a girl when he went missing. And she never had anyone else. Just one love her entire life.
Who even gets that? The real thing. Hey. This is a heartbreak. She just never gave up on love.
They gaze at each other.
Dr. Davis, report to ICU. I should get back in there. Thanks for waiting.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. Hey, you know, here's my information, so just you can call me at home if you change anything.
At the station, Susan and Julie chat with Craig.
It's over.
But can't we just put it on hold, give her a couple weeks, and then see how she's doing?
And then what? Rush her back and push her into having another heart attack and her family sues us? Who else can we move up?
At home, Susan reads A Country Worth Dying For by Senator Maxwell Irving.
Hey, it's Susan.
Susan, my fiancé.
Susan, who thought we were not going to talk about this until you got back. House Fiji.
Beautiful, romantic,
lonesome. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, so when are you coming home?
I don't know. I've met these guys who built this unbelievable boat.
They've asked me to stay for a while after the assignment's over. Maybe, you know, do a little sailing.
I thought you couldn't wait to see me.
I can't. But, Susan, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, enjoy your once-in-a-lifetime and try not to get lonesome.
I'll call you soon.
Bye.
Susan hangs up.
Hello?
Hello yourself.
Oh, hi. How is she?
She's kind of fragile, but the doctors think she'll mend. She asked about you.
She asked about me?
She wanted to see how you were holding up. Hey, why don't you answer your door?
Because there's nobody
She looks down and wipes crumbs off her shirt.
Well, you can't say I didn't call before I showed up.
Yeah, and you can't say that I wasn't smiling when I told you that you can't stay. I have homework.
Homework?
Yeah, I'm going to D.C. tomorrow. And I have some reading.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'll see you when you get back.
Okay.
He turns and walks off.
Hey. I guess I should tell you my boss, Craig. He doesn't think that the interview stuff is so good for your grandmother, so he canceled the project.
Oh, wow. I guess my grandmother will be really disappointed. So what are you gonna do now?
Interview softies and do-gooders.
I mean...
He moves closer.
What are you gonna do now?
I knew I should not have opened this door.
You aren't gonna leave?
No.
He leans his head in very close to hers.
But I think you have to, so...
He backs away, smiling. She grins and closes the door, then leans against it. Elsewhere, Susan and a crew with a man on the Congress floor.
We have to know what you stand for, don't you? And beyond that, a certain courage of conviction.
I've been blessed, and every struggle along the way has brought its own rewards. But hey, don't make it sound as if I'm through. I still intend to be making waves as long as the voters believe in me.
For many years to come, I'm sure. That's great, guys. Thank you. Senator, thank you for giving me so much of your time.
Please let me know when it's going to air so I can watch it. And if there's anything I can do for you while you're here in Washington, why, let me know.
Thank you. You know, actually...
Elsewhere, Susan sits in an airport terminal with luggage. She answers her phone.
Hello?
Ms. Alton, Max Irving. We found that information for you.
Wow, that was fast.
My assistant's emailing it to you now.
Thank you, Senator, really.
No problem.
Sounds Elsewhere, good. Julie answers her phone.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you know what? I need you to do me a favor.
I'm going to forward you an email. I need to know how to contact any living relatives of a man named Billings. Jeffrey. Somewhere around Lubbock, Texas. Ooh, that's Lucas. I gotta go.
Lucas?
Hey.
Hey.
How's our girl?
She's asleep right now. She's tougher than she looks.
Outside Caroline's hospital room, an older couple passes and kisses Lucas.
And my folks are in from New York, so that'll be a nice surprise for her when she wakes up. I'll see you soon.
Mission accomplished. Actually, I'm changing my flight and I'm heading to Texas.
Texas?
Do you know what was done to find your grandfather after he was declared missing?
Everything that could be done, I'm pretty sure. I know that my grandmother stayed after the Navy for years.
And did you know that there were two American survivors on the last mission that your grandfather flew?
Just one, a guy named Roberts. He's not a survivor anymore, though. He died shortly after he came back stateside.
Actually, there was another one. A guy by the name of Jeff Billings. The Navy had a report that he had been rescued. Unfortunately, there was a little paperwork snafu, and he was officially classified as killed in the line of duty until 7 years ago, when he actually died of natural causes, as the paperwork got straightened out. And I'm guessing that your grandmother had stopped looking by then.
Not to mention that it's probably a little late for him to tell us anything really useful.
Well, dead men talk all the time, Lucas.
A car drives down a dusty country road. It turns into a large field outside a barn. An older man stands beside a tractor. A woman approaches and hands him a glass of water. Susan gets out of the car and approaches them.
Hi. Mr. and Mrs. Billings? I'm Susan Allison. I spoke with you last night from D.C.
I'm Anne.
Hi.
And this is Glenn.
Hi, dear ma'am.
You're the television lady?
Yeah, that's me. Television lady.
Can I get you something to drink?
I'm fine, really. Thank you for agreeing to speak to me.
Don't know how much we can help you, ma'am. I
I grew up listening to all my daddy's war stories, and I do remember him talking about the lieutenant. That's who saved his life, but he never did know what became of him.
Wait a minute. Lieutenant Thomas saved your father's life?
Yes, ma'am. They got shot down over Manila Bay. They was both hit pretty bad.
They parachuted to the ground, hit out in the jungle on the Bataan Peninsula.
Until the local was able to get my daddy back to the Americans.
Well, if they were able to help your father, then how come Lieutenant Thomas...
They just had this little cart.
It was only big enough to hide one man. The lieutenant refused to go. He said my daddy was way worse than he was, and they could just send somebody back after him.
It's all in the letter.
What letter?
It was the first letter my daddy wrote back home after he got rescued. That was the last time my daddy saw the lieutenant. I tried to look him up after the war.
But all I could find out was that he'd been listed as missing in action.
So Lieutenant Thomas just stayed there in the jungle?
They'd met some men. Tribesmen and a couple of rebel fighters.
At least he wasn't alone.
There you go, honey.
My daddy wrote it all down.
The woman returns with a Bible with an envelope in the pages.
And I think my mama kept it in the Bible just to remind herself that everything's in God's hands.
The man removes the envelope from the pages and hands it to Susan.
I think my daddy would want the lieutenant's wife to have that, ma'am.
Elsewhere, Lucas and his parents stand with Caroline in her driveway. Susan pulls up.
Hey, you?
Hey, I heard the hospital let you go because you were too much for them to handle.
Susan hugs Lucas.
How are you?
Oh, glad to see you. That's how I am. As soon as you put him down, we can talk.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let me introduce you to my parents. This is my mother, Maggie.
Hi.
This is my father, Neil Jr.
Hi, Susan. Nice to meet you.
I feel as if we already know you just from watching your show.
I'm glad you enjoy it. I have a surprise for you.
Inside the living room, Caroline reads the letter. As she reads, she covers her mouth. She begins to sob. Caroline holds the letter out to Neil Jr.
Neil, your father saved this man's life. He had a chance to be rescued, and it put the man's life first.
Jeff Billings never knew what became of your husband. But in that letter, he mentions a tribesman, Morang. I'm gonna check it out.
Do you think it's possible you could find him?
Somebody, somewhere, knows what happened in that jungle. And I'm gonna find out. I promise.
You promise?
But it was a bit optimistic, I admit, but I still think I can do it.
With your own work being so totally irrelevant.
This is my work. You're the one who put me on the story.
And I took you off. Remember that
part?
Yeah,
but I think if you and I... Please just let me explain.
No.
Susan stares at Craig.
Fine. Then you know what? I'll see you in a week. It's been 3 years since I've had a vacation, and I'm feeling a bit run down.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Job might not be here when you get back.
Okay. That's how you feel.
Craig turns to Julie.
Can you reason with her?
Craig walks off.
I never side with Craig, but all you have is a man's name.
No, actually, I have a place. Bataan Peninsula.
No, you don't know he's from there.
Morang was a native. The letter says that he was a native.
So I'm a native of New Jersey? This is not New Jersey.
Look, I am not going to let Caroline Thomas die without the answers that she has been looking for.
Because you're falling for her grandson.
Wow, you know what? I teetered on the brink, but Caroline, I care about her.
Susan, what happened? What happened?
Nothing. Almost nothing.
What about Andrew?
Look, I'm working on it, okay? And I'm gonna back away from Lucas.
Okay, because you seem to really
Look,
like
can we just talk about something else? Okay? I'm backing away from Lucas. Look at me. Backing. No Lucas.
Got it.
Elsewhere, Lucas pulls his car up to Caroline's house. He pulls a rowing machine out of the trunk.
Hey.
Hey. Brought you something. This will keep you flexible, healthy, and hopefully happy.
Wow. Does all that?
Well, it will.
says I teach you how to use it.
Well, I can't accept it.
Look, I know how busy you are with work, and now you're running around for my grandmother. I thought, when does she have time to take care of herself?
I run.
Also comes with flowers. Just a friendly reminder to take a moment, stop, lean forward with your spine properly aligned, and smell the roses.
I love roses. I can't.
Why not? It's just a gift for all you've done.
I think maybe we should just keep this friendly.
Friendly.
He places the rowing machine back into the trunk.
I like you.
Lucas smiles.
I am involved with someone else. And I need to decide how I feel about him first.
You had to go and say that, didn't you? Now I just like you more.
Lucas gets into his car. He grins as he pulls away. Elsewhere, in her bathroom, Susan brushes her teeth. A picture of her and Andrew sits on the basin. Later, she talks on her cell phone looking at a world map.
Is that as exact as you can get?
Just north of Orion Bataan. Okay, well, what about the map coordinates?
Did the pilot note the coordinates?
A map on her computer shows the city of Orion. Lucas' family at a bookstore. A sign promotes his book signing.
Didn't I tell you? He's becoming a superstar around here.
You're right, Mom. Now look at all this stuff. Wow.
Oh, I couldn't be more proud.
It's a little embarrassing if you ask me.
Why?
I just hope that we get a big enough crowd. I mean, who's going to want a signed copy of an exercise book?
You have helped so many people. They want to meet you.
And we'll be here.
Why not ask Susan?
Oh, she's cute.
Okay, you guys, stop. All right, she's got a boyfriend. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like there was something there.
No, there's nothing there.
Oh, I agree with Grandma. She looked interested to me.
Well, she mentioned some other guy a couple times. Now I got the picture.
But don't be so quick to dismiss it. You like her. I can tell. Maybe this person she talks about isn't the one.
Lucas ponders. At home, Susan types on her laptop. She stands to answer the door. Andrew stands outside.
Hey! What are you doing here?
I got back a day early.
Well, I wish that you would have called me because I could have come and picked you up.
Well, if you want, I'll let you drive me back tomorrow.
So you're leaving again tomorrow?
No. Let me start over. I am sorry. I've been on a plane for 12 hours, and I need a hug.
They hug. Andrew notices the maps hanging in the living room.
Wow. Why all the research? Is that Bataan? What's going on?
Remember the story that I told you I was doing about the lady whose husband... She lost in World War II while I'm trying to help her find him.
After 60 years?
Yeah, except now I know where he was and the name of the man who saw him last.
Meringue.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have any contacts in the Philippines that might be able to help?
Yeah, I still have a few contacts there. I haven't spoken to them in a while, though.
You know, it's the love of her life, and she still has no idea what happened to him.
Well, hey, that's all you had to say. Do anything for love.
Andrew picks up the ring box on the table.
I don't want to hurt you.
Right, no, of course not.
I'm sorry, Andrew, we're just not ready.
I was hoping that maybe... But I had a feeling.
We're just not there for each other. And that's not your fault, and it's not my fault. It is what it is.
You seeing somebody?
No. Why would you... No, I'm not.
Andrew nods, then cocks his head. He stands.
Can you email me everything you found on your missing soldier?
Yeah. What about us? Shouldn't we talk about that?
Not right now. I'm the one who's got some thinking to do now.
He walks out. Lucas pulls up in his car. He sees Andrew and Susan talking outside her house.
I'll call a few of my contacts over there. Maybe one of them knows somebody. Kind of a long shot.
Thank you for being so incredibly decent.
Lucas watches as she hugs him. Lucas gets back into his car. In the editing bay, Susan watches footage of the senator.
We have to know what you stand for, don't you? And beyond that, it's courage of conviction. And in this case, we have...
Susan does an internet search for Lucas. She grins, looking at his book cover, One Stretch Fits All. He smiles on the cover. Susan ponders. Elsewhere, she sits outside eating from a bowl. She looks inside at the flowers Lucas gave her earlier. They have begun to wilt. Later, Susan enters the bookstore, passing the sign promoting Lucas's book signing. She watches as a line of people approach his table with his book. He turns and sees Susan, who picks up a nearby book and approaches.
Hello. Would you mind signing this?
I can't.
Why not?
I didn't write it.
I'm so sorry. Your grandmother called me and told me to stop by. This is really nice for you. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Hey, did she tell you that she's already reading to the veterans again?
Oh, I'm so glad that she's doing well. Listen, about the last time that we talked...
You do not need to explain.
No, actually, I feel like I should, and I was going to call you, but...
I'm really sorry, but I've got to finish the signing here. Maybe we can talk another time.
Sure.
Caroline and Lucas's parents stand in the back. They smile watching Lucas and Susan. Susan turns and begins to walk away. Caroline's face falls. Elsewhere, Susan enters the TV studio.
You're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
What happened to Mission Impossible?
Andrew's working on it. I'm going to keep my promise to Caroline, but right now I have a career to salvage.
There's something I was supposed to tell you.
Deliverymen exit her office with tubs.
I just found out a few minutes ago.
What is going on in my office?
You don't have an office. You quit.
I did not quit.
Well, maybe I misunderstood. Well, we were hoping you'd come back, so we fixed up a cubicle for you.
A cubicle?
Susan interviews a football coach.
What made you decide to start the scholarship fund?
I couldn't afford to go to college.
New VO starts here. Good kids reach for
it. Looks good. Hey, Andrew, it's Susan. I haven't heard from you, so call me, okay? Whenever you can, let me know where you are.
This mailbox is full.
Susan interviews a bicyclist.
Oh, hi, how does it feel to know that you're inspiring people all across the nation to unite behind a common cause?
Susan runs outside. She picks up her cell phone.
Andrew? Hey. I can't believe it. I've been trying you for weeks. I thought you blocked my number.
No, I was working and trying to get beyond us.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You were right. It's
It's for the best. I'm never there. In fact, I'm actually in Abu Kai, Bataan, and got some information for you.
Susan speeds up to Caroline's house.
Caroline! Oh, Caroline, that man! Meringue! We found him.
Caroline covers her mouth.
So I can see Mr. Meringue on the TV?
Yes, and he'll be able to see you. It's almost like you're in the same room.
Just amazing.
A crew sets up in her living room.
You all right, Grandma?
Okay, we are just about at showtime. Ah, here we go.
Okay, Mr. Meringue, you're on.
A man appears on the monitor.
Hello, Mrs. Tomas?
Hello, Mr. Meringue. Please, call me Caroline.
Caroline. It's an honor to finally meet you after so much time.
Oh, yes, I'm thankful for the opportunity. I could never have imagined it be possible. Mr. Meringue, do you know what happened to my husband?
Yes, I know.
In a flashback, Neil lies in a jungle beside another man.
The first time I saw him, he was already badly hurt.
Americano?
Help, help him, help him. First,
his friend was also in a bad shape.
He's a dead man.
Please, just help him first. Help, help, help.
He was a good man.
In the present, Caroline smiles.
Where are you taking me?
He will take you to the Americans.
No, I'll take you first.
It will take more than a week. He won't make a trip.
Just give him a chance.
There is only room for one. He won't risk again.
Neil looks at the soldier beside him.
Take him.
Sige, tulungan niyo ako dito.
It's okay, Billings.
Okay, no. Ilagay dito. Takpan natin. Takpan.
Billings wakes up and looks at Neil.
Sige, ate. Alis na.
Home safe, Billings.
Billings rides away on a cart. Later, a young Moring offers Neil food.
Paganda tayo.
Hungry?
Tomas kept a picture of you and his baby boy, always in his pocket.
Neil pulls out a photo of Caroline holding her baby. He looks at it, then pulls out the heart-shaped card.
Now you have my heart. Keep it next to yours and bring it safely back to me.
In a flashback, Neil reads the card on the train as it pulls away. He kisses it standing on the back of the train. Caroline watches him right away.
I'll always love you, Caroline.
Neil reads the card. Moring watches as Neil begins to mouth words.
Many times I remember him asking God to keep you safe.
Neil kisses the photo.
Tomas got stronger by the day and joined us. Sometimes enemy Japanese patrols would come by. If we saw them, we would kill them. Sometimes they would forget to come, so we would go looking.
Neil walks through a swamp with Moring and other men holding rifles. They see empty huts standing in the water. Neil and the men walk toward the huts with their guns drawn. They cautiously approach a hut. Underneath one of the huts, a man lies face down in the water. Beside the man is a small model airplane. Neil picks it up and spins the propeller. In a flashback, he whittles a small wooden airplane and looks at the photo of Caroline holding the baby. Neil wipes his brow. Across the swamp, he sees a woman lying motionless. A hand reaches through a hole in the wall and strokes the woman's hair. Neil dashes up. The hand disappears through the hole. Neil approaches. The other side of the wall is empty. A small boy watches, hiding inside a nearby boat. Neil looks around, spotting something in the trees nearby. Bullets ricochet off the swamp water. Neil and the other soldiers draw their guns. The small boy pops his head up. The small boy freezes. Neil walks over and shields the boy. Neil is shot in the shoulder. Maury approaches Neil.
Get him both. Get him to safety.
You're hurt! Come!
Get him to safety!
Warren gets into the boat with the boy and sails away.
I'll be back.
Neil lies in the water, watching the boat pull away. Neil touches his crucifix, hanging around his neck, as the boat sails away.
The Lord is a bishop of flesh and of blood. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me.
Neil lies in the water, staring at the boat. A flashback of Caroline handing Neil the card as he leans out of the train window.
Caroline.
Neil holds Caroline's hand as they walk down the sidewalk. In the swamp water, Neil's hand extends in front of him. Later, Warren chisels a cross into a rock.
We buried Tomas by the cliffs.
Mooring and the soldiers pick up their belongings and walk off. In the present, Caroline sobs. Susan and Lucas watch, also sobbing.
Mr. Moran, do you think you could find that place again?
On the monitor, Mooring nods.
I remember.
Caroline cries. She looks at the large photo of Neil on the mantle in uniform. Outside the house, Susan chats with a cameraman. She hands him a clipboard.
So take one and three.
Lucas approaches.
All these years, now she knows. I really don't know how to thank you enough.
I'm really glad I could do that for her. Julie's almost done inside, and then we'll be out of your way, so you can have some family time.
You don't want to stay?
No, I don't want to intrude.
I'd like it if you would.
After your book signing, I kind of thought you never wanted to see me again.
I'm sorry. I guess I was just a little disappointed after I saw you with your boyfriend.
What? When was that?
A couple days before the book signing. You were with some guy. You were hugging him with some enthusiasm.
Yeah, that wasn't. It was goodbye.
Goodbye, huh?
Susan smiles.
So what happens now?
Now, the Navy is gonna bring your grandfather's body back to the States. Start the identification process, which is long, from what I understand, and then they are going to bring your grandfather's body home to be buried,
So you were watching me?
Yes, I was.
You were? Why? Is it because you like me?
Yeah, just a little.
Lucas moves closer.
Oh, I have to get back to work because this is a really important segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You really want me to let you go right now?
Susan leans closer.
Later.
She kisses him. They separate, smiling. Inside, Caroline sits at the computer reading an email. Lucas stands behind her.
How's Aunt Jenny doing?
Well, she just had another great grandbaby. She said she sent pictures, but I don't see them.
Well, it's because you got to download it first, Grandma. Here, just click that button right there.
Oh, will you look at that?
Lucas glances out the window. Two men in officer's uniform approach the front door. Caroline turns around, watching them approach. In a flashback, the Western Union man approaches walking the same path. In the present, Lucas opens the door.
Hello, we're here to see Mrs. Caroline Thomas.
I'm Lucas Thomas, her grandson. Please come in.
Mrs. Thomas, I'm Chaplain Richard Brady. This is Chief Petty Officer Harris.
Ma'am.
On behalf of the United States Navy, I'm here to inform you that the body of your husband, Lieutenant Neil Thomas, listed as missing in action for 66 years, has been found.
I am deeply honored to deliver to you the personal effects of your husband, which were recovered.
The officer hands Caroline Neil's crucifix and watch. He hands Caroline a small leather pouch. Caroline hands the jewelry to Lucas and touches the pouch.
I have been further authorized to inform you that the following awards have been recommended by the Secretary of the Navy on behalf of a grateful nation. For meritorious conduct in the face of the enemy, and for gallantry above and beyond the call of duty, Lieutenant Neil Thomas, United States Navy, will be posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, the Silver Star, and the Navy Cross.
Caroline's eyes widen.
Thank you.
She extends her hand to the officers.
Thank you both very much.
The officers turn and walk out. Lucas escorts them down the path. Inside the leather pouch is Caroline's heart-shaped card, faded. In a flashback, Caroline hands Neil the card through the train window.
Now you have my heart. Keep it next to yours and bring it safely back to me. I will always love you.
In the present, Caroline smiles. Later, Lucas and Caroline garden in the backyard. Lucas begins to dig the rose bush.
What are you doing? Put that shovel down.
Grandma, seriously, it's time this thing came out.
But that's the first rose your grandfather planted when we bought this place.
Well, I know, Grandma, but look, it's not coming back. It's dead.
Maybe not. Maybe there's still life in its roots. Cut it back to the ground. All it wants is a chance.
All right.
I don't believe in giving up on things.
At the studio, Craig approaches Susan's cubicle.
You can have your office back.
I thought you gave it to someone else.
No, this is going to be the best story we've ever done. Now, when does this all happen and where?
At Union Station, Valentine's Day, Senator Irving pulled a few strings.
Oh, very good. Oh, that's so good.
At Union Station, Caroline and Lucas walk arm in arm. Susan chats with a cameraman.
Let's go medium and tight, okay? And just swing.
Caroline and Lucas pass men in uniform and approach Lucas's parents.
just in time.
So glad you're here.
I'll be right back. 5 minutes.
Beautiful. We wouldn't have missed this for the world. Happy Valentine's Day, brother.
It's nice to see you. And you.
Susan approaches.
Caroline, you okay?
Oh, I am indeed. And thank you again.
Of course. Okay, so the train's going to be here in just a few minutes. And they're going to bring your husband right through that tunnel. Caroline, you don't have to do a thing. But just wait, like you always do. And don't worry about the cameras, okay? Because just pretend like they're not even there.
Susan kisses Caroline's cheek. Caroline glances around, idly patting the bench beside her. She rocks her feet. Mr. Williams approaches.
There you are, Mrs. Thomas. How are you doing today?
Oh, Mr. Williams, don't you look wonderful?
Oh, if I do, that makes two of us. I was just saying to myself, it's about time for that pretty Caroline Thomas to show up. And there you are, right on schedule.
Wouldn't want to be late.
No, I guess you wouldn't.
My husband's coming home today.
Yes. That's what they tell me.
Caroline turns. A procession of officers walks by, carrying a flag. Mr. Williams tips his cap and walks off. Caroline watches the procession pass. Caroline watches the train tunnel, her eyes wide.
Reform.
Okay, grab that.
Detail. Forward. March.
The officers turn and march back the other direction. A gathered crowd watches as the officers pass. Several veterans sitting in wheelchairs watch. Caroline stands. The soldiers separate. Behind them, a second procession of officers walks forward, carrying a coffin draped in an American flag. Caroline approaches. An officer lifts a bugle. Caroline puts her hand on the coffin and closes her eyes. The veterans salute. Caroline sobs. Lucas's eyes begin to water. Susan smiles at him, also sobbing. Caroline looks up above her, then down at the coffin.
Up, slow. Up.
The officers lift the coffin higher. Caroline leans over and kisses it. She rests her head on the coffin and cries. Susan sobs. An officer approaches Caroline. The officer begins to pull Caroline backward.
Detail. Forward. March.
The officers carry the coffin forward. Caroline watches as the coffin is carried away. She smiles. Later, Caroline and Lucas's parents park a car in the driveway.
You go on in the house. I have to water my roses.
I'll water them for you, Mom.
No, dear.
Lucas and Susan walk the path together.
Susan, what you did for my grandmother, it was incredibly generous.
Well, I like your family. It's been great getting to know them.
Even if you have to put up with me?
Yeah, well, you're not so bad.
Well, you know, I would love to get to know your family someday, too.
Maybe you will soon.
Really?
Yeah, I talked to my mom last night.
That's great.
Yeah, we haven't always been the closest, but it was nice.
When was the last time you were home?
Wow, I think when my father was still alive. That was a really happy time. I just don't want it to feel different without him there.
Hey. Sometimes different can be nice. Unexpected.
Lucas hugs her close. The sprinkler in the lawn turns on. They get sprayed with water.
Oh. What if I come home with you when you go visit?
Wow. That would be different. And nice.
In the backyard, Caroline waters the lawn. She turns, then pauses. A rosebud appears on the rose bush. She approaches, smiling. She lifts the bud gently. Caroline ponders. In a flashback, a radio plays. In a flashback, Caroline's feet rock back and forth as she stands in front of the rosebush, in full bloom. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be. Neil's feet appear behind her own, rocking with her. In the present, Caroline smiles. A man in an officer's uniform rocks her gently back and forth. In a flashback, Caroline sprays the hose at Neil, standing in the backyard. Neil lifts Caroline, and they spin happily together. Till sunbeams find you. The sprinkler sprays them as they kiss. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your Neil and Caroline hold each other tightly as they kiss. Dream a little dream of me. In the present, Lucas holds Susan in the same spot of the lawn, her arms spread open. They smile.